إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge from Allah from the evil which is in ourselves. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our actions. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهِ. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ. And whoever Allah chooses to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. وحده لا شريك له. He is alone and he has no partners. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I also bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the worshipper of Allah and he is his final messenger. أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله. Thereafter, the best of speech is the book of Allah. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the best of guidance is the guidance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَإِنَّ شَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the most evil of affairs are those matters which people have innovated and introduced into the religion of Al-Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For indeed every newly innovated matter is a bid'ah. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every bid'ah, every innovation is a misguidance. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every misguidance only leads to the fire. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O people of Iman, O you who have Iman, have the taqwa of Allah in its correct sense. And do not die except in a state of being Muslims. عباد الله معشر المسلمين. Our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal, He described يوم القيامة. He described the day of resurrection. And He mentioned the state or the situation of people on يوم القيامة. So He mentioned its signs and He mentioned how things will be on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and He mentioned the different states of different people on the day of resurrection. So He mentioned and He explained to us the state of those people who will be honored on the day of resurrection, those who will be successful on the day of resurrection. And He only did this in order to encourage us as people to be like those people who will be honored and they will be safe on the day of resurrection. That we take them as our role models and we try to imitate and copy their actions, that perhaps Allah will honor us also on that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also explained to us the situation of those people who will be wretched on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The Ashqiya, those who will be sad on the day of resurrection. Those who will be dishonored, humiliated and belittled on the day of resurrection, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And He did this in order for us to take a lesson, that we don't imitate them. We should not be similar to them. We don't do the actions that those people do. Perhaps Allah will save us from the punishment that they face. And in the time that we are living in these days and these years, in the place, the country and the city that we live in, most of the people are distracted by the desires, by the shahawat. So the distractions are many. And those matters which occupy the minds of people away from the akhirah, they are many. And the worldly desires, ash-shahawatu dunyawiyya, the worldly desires, there are many. However, the Muslim, the mu'min, who lives upon this earth, who lives in this time and in this land, should never forget death. Neither should he ever forget the akhirah. Nor should he lose focus of his real objective upon this earth. And many people have forgotten. Many people have forgotten the akhirah. Many of us, we are occupied with wealth and with the occupations of this world, and sometimes it causes us to forget the akhirah. And for this reason, a Muslim should always remind himself of those people who will be honored on the day of resurrection, so he can be like them. And a Muslim should always remind himself of those people who will be belittled and dishonored on the day of resurrection, so he can take a lesson and an admonishment. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, do not let the worldly occupations and the worldly distractions distract you away from the akhirah. We should not forget our true objective upon this earth, because the akhirah is our final abode. And this dunya, it is only a journey towards the akhirah. So do not live upon this earth as if this is our final abode. Rather, this is only a temporary abode. Like a traveler who comes and he rests under a tree. He only rests under that tree for a few minutes. And then he gets up, leaves, and he carries on with his journey. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in an amazing, great hadith, he mentioned 7 specific groups of people who will be honored on the day of resurrection. They will have a special status, a special place with Allah that other people will not have. And every single one of us has a relation to this hadith. Oh, this hadith can be implemented upon every single one of us. And this hadith is the hadith which has been collected in Sahih Bukhari upon the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهِ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. 7 groups of people whom Allah will shade under His shade on the day where there is no other shade except His shade. And then he mentioned these 7 groups of people. He said, Imamun Adilun, a just ruler. Washabun Nasha'a fi ibadatillah, and a young person, youth, who grew up in the worship of Allah. Warajulun qalbuhu mu'allakun bil masajid, and a man, a person, whose heart is always attached to the masajid. Warajulani tahaba fillah, and 2 people who loved each other for the sake of Allah. فَاجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, so they both came together upon their love of Allah, and they left each other according to their love of Allah. وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَهُ, and a man who remembered Allah, he made dhikr of Allah when he was alone. Nobody else saw him, but His eyes shed tears. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ And a man who was called by a woman, enticed by a woman. And this woman, she has mansab, she has a high authority or high lineage. And she is a woman who is very beautiful. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ But the man said, I fear Allah. And then the seventh person, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ is a person who gave in charity. فَأَخْفَاهَا But he hid and he concealed this charity. حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تَنْفَقِ يَمِينُهُ Until he hid it so much that his left hand does not know that which his right hand is giving. So this hadith talks about these seven groups of people who will be honored on the day of resurrection. May Allah make us from them. And it will be on that day when every person will stand in front of Allah. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ On the day in which all of creation will stand in front of Rabb al-Alameen. And on that day, the sun will be brought very close. And everybody will be seeking shade, somewhere where they can shade and shelter themselves from the scorching heat of the sun. But on that day, there will be no tree, nor any mountain, nor any building behind which a person can seek shade. So the only shade that will exist on that day is, as is mentioned in the hadith, the shade of Allah. And the meaning of dhillullah, the shade of Allah, is the shade of His arsh, the shade of His throne. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not have a shade. And we know this because of some of the other narrations of this hadith. So in Ibn Hibban and other than him in the other books, the wording mentions, تَحْتَ ظِلِّ عَرْشِهِ Under the shade of the throne of Allah. So on that day when everybody is searching for shade, and there's no shade except that shade, then Allah will shelter and shade these seven groups of people. Who are they? The first amongst them, Imamun Adilun, a ruler who is just. A ruler, a person who has authority. He fears Allah regarding those people who are under his authority. A ruler who is merciful, who is compassionate towards other people. A person in authority who rules according to the Sharia of Allah. A person who looks after the right of the one who is oppressed over the oppressor. A person of authority and standing who does not take rishwa. He does not take bribery. He does not prefer himself and his family over other people. A ruler, a person of authority who looks after the weak, who looks after and considers those who have been oppressed. Look at what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said when he was chosen by the companions to be the Khalifa of the Muslims. He said after climbing the minbar, he said, Amma ba'd, فَإِنِّي قَدْ وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ He said, I have been given the authority over you, but I am not better than any of you. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعِينُونِي So if I do something which is good, then help me. وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي And if I do something which is wrong, something which is bad, then rectify me, help me upon rectifying me. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ أَمَانَةٌ Because as-sidq, truthfulness, this is a trust. وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ خِيَانَةٌ And as for lying, then this is treachery. وَالضَّعِيفُ مِنْكُمْ قَوِيٌّ عِنْدِي And the one who is weak amongst you, he is strong with me. حَتَّى أَرْجِعَ إِلَيْهِ حَقَّهُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ Until I return to him his right by the permission of Allah. وَالْقَوِيُّ فِيكُمْ ضَعِيفٌ عِنْدِي And the one who is strong amongst you, then he is weak with me. حَتَّى أَخِذُ الْحَقِّ مِنْهُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ Until I take the right from him with the permission of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered every single one of us to be just. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ Allah orders with justice. And Allah orders with being good. And this is for every single individual. The second group of people who are mentioned in this hadith, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ A young person who grew up in the worship of Allah. So this youth, this young person, he differs from the other youth in his years of strength, in his years of energy, in the years and in the days in which the people in his time, the youth, his contemporaries, are thinking about their career and only about their own education and how much wealth they can acquire and how far they can go in the dunya. But this young person, he differs from all of those other youth. So he controls his energy. He controls his ambitions. He controls his strength and his enthusiasm. And he uses it and in the service of the religion of Allah. He grows up in the worship of Allah. And how beautiful is this young person, this youth, this teenager, who learns about Islam. He acts upon Islam. He wants to please his Lord. He thinks about his parents and pleasing his parents. Even though he's lonely amongst the people, he's different to his friends and his youth and the other youth. But how much of a high status he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should know that this youth, this young person, he wasn't born one day upon righteousness. Rather, this young person is only righteous because of the tarbiyah, because of the cultivation of his parents. So only with the parents cultivating him, encouraging him upon the ibadah of Allah, upon the worship of Allah, does he become like this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مَعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ A person whose heart is attached to the masajid. In a time and in a place where the hearts of the people are attached to their own homes, building their extensions, buying a better home. When the hearts of the people are attached to the marketplaces, to the parks, the theme parks, to the places of their work. But the heart of this person, it is attached to the masjid. Even if his body is somewhere else, even if he's at work, he's in a park with his children, he's inside his home, but his heart is attached to the masjid. And how is this? This is firstly through establishing the prayer in the masajid. And then after this, teaching the people, guiding the people, learning about Islam in the masajid, and also in maintaining, cleaning, looking after the masajid. So this masjid here, this blessed masjid bi-idhnillah, it is not the house of any person. Nobody owns this masjid. This masjid is Baytullah, the house of Allah. It is owned by all of the Muslims. This masjid is a place where tawheed is to be spread, where the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be direct, guided the people towards. And then the fourth group of people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this noble hadith are two people. رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Their friendship is based upon the love of Allah. Their coming together is in the service of Allah. Their leaving each other is upon the love of Allah. So these two men, these two people, it isn't business that brings them together. It isn't that they're from the same tribe or qawmiyyah or nationalism. Rather, it is only the love of Allah Azza wa Jal that brings them together. And because of this, Allah loves them. Because of this, Allah honors them. So they come together in everything which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they leave each other in everything which displeases Allah. And this is how the friendship of the Muslims should be between each other. That if you find a person upon righteousness, you find a person who has knowledge, you find a person from whom there is benefit for your akhirah, then your friendship and your relationship is strengthened with this person. And if you find another Muslim who has a lot of sins, misguidance, away from the path of Allah, then your relationship also strengthens. But this is the relationship of nasiha, of sincere advice. The relationship of caring for him, bringing him close so you can guide him to the straight path. And therefore, a Muslim is not treated like a non-Muslim. The relationship of a Muslim to a Muslim is not like the relationship of a Muslim to a non-Muslim. The relationship between the people of At-Tawheed is not like the people of a Shirk. The relationship and the friendship between two people of the Sunnah is not like the people of innovation. And then the next group of people that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is a man, a person, ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا. He mentions Allah and he is alone. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَهُ. But his eyes, they shed tear. And this is the strength of his ikhlas, of his sincerity. The strength of his iman and his taqwa. That even when he is alone and nobody else can see him, he knows that Allah sees him. So much so that when he remembers Allah, he weeps out of fear and humility in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this weeping out of fear of Allah is a sign of the correctness of his heart. Because when the eyes, they stop weeping from the fear of Allah, ثُمَّ قَسَتِ الْقُلُوبِ, then the hearts, they become hardened. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, عَيْنَانِ لَا تَمُسُّهُمَا النَّارِ, the two eyes, the fire will never touch them. He said, عَيْنٌ بَكَتْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, an eye which sheds a tear out of humility and fear of Allah. وَعَيْنٌ بَاتَتْ تَحْرِسُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and an eye which stays awake, fighting the way of Allah, guarding the Muslims. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the sixth group of people. He said, a man who was seduced by a woman, enticed by a woman. The woman called him. And this woman, she had high lineage and she was very beautiful. Consider the wording of this hadith. He didn't call the woman. He doesn't have a higher lineage than the woman. He doesn't force the woman. Rather, she is the one who calls him. She has more authority than him. She has a higher status than him. Her lineage is higher than him and she is very beautiful. So this man now in this position, he has every single excuse to fulfill his desires. He didn't force her, she's coming upon him. He doesn't have more wealth than her, rather she has more wealth than him. But despite all of these excuses which he could give, he said, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, indeed I fear Allah. So he stays away from illegal desires. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned the final person, The final group of people. Those people who give in charity. And they give in charity in secrecy. And this is because a sadaqah, charity, it is a great pillar from this religion. Rather, the Muslims have always been known for their generosity when it comes to spending in the way of Allah. A Muslim, he spends upon the masjid. He spends upon the orphans. He gives for the poor, even towards the non-Muslims. A Muslim is allowed to donate charity to a non-Muslim as long as that non-Muslim is not fighting him or expelling him from his house. So this is how a Muslim should be. Al-A'mal, the actions, they will come on the day of resurrection, all of the righteous actions, debating each other. وَتَقُولُ الصَّدَقَةُ أَنَا أَفْضَلُهَا. And charity will say, I am the best of all of these righteous deeds. As is mentioned in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. So a Muslim should always train himself that his hand is always giving. According to what Allah has given you. You can give 10 pounds, 5 pounds, 1 pound. You are a young Muslim, you can give 50 pence, you give in the way of Allah. And as for a Muslim whose hand never gives in the way of Allah, his hand is always stingy, always in his pocket, then this person is upon great danger, severe danger. Why? Because this wealth, it is not your wealth. Rather, this wealth has been given to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as Allah gave you this wealth, He can take this wealth away from you. So every single person trains himself. He sees a box of charity collecting donations for the poor, he gives something, even if it is 50 pence. وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. And never belittle any good deed, even if it is a little amount. Give in charity, even if it is half of a date. So these seven groups of people, my brothers and sisters, will be honored on that day, on the day of resurrection. That they will have a special status even other people will not have. So every single person amongst us fits into this hadith. Our children, if you ask us, what do you want your children to be? One will say a doctor. The other one will say an engineer. Who amongst us will say that I want my child to be Imamun Adilun, a just ruler? Or I want my child to be from those youth, Nasha'u fi ibadatillah, who grow up in the worship of Allah. So these should be our main ambitions. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد معشر المسلمين. This hadith which we have mentioned, as I mentioned, every single one of us enters into this hadith. The first person who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned was Imamun Adilun, a just ruler. Some of the scholars, they mentioned that this isn't just the ruler of a country. Rather, every single person who has authority over the Muslims, or every single Muslim towards whom the eyes of the Muslims look up to, then he is also an imam. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam not say, "Kullukum ra'in"? Every single one of you is a shepherd. Mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. And every single one of you is responsible for his flock. So the father, he's a leader in his house. The mother, she's a leader when the husband leaves. And also we are imams, as in we are role models for other people. We are role models in front of non-Muslims. We are role models towards other Muslims. We are role models towards our colleagues and friends at school. And there are two types of imams. There are the imams of hidayah, the imams of guidance. And then there are the imams of misguidance. So choose for yourself. Do you want to be from a'immatul huda, from the imams of guidance? Or do you want to be from a'immatul dalala, from the imams of misguidance? And you have to be an imam from either one of them two. Also, the second person, a young person who grows up in the worship of Allah. All of us, we are in one of three stages. Either we are young, so we enter into this hadith. Or we are old, we are parents, fathers and mothers. Therefore, we have to cultivate those young people. Or we are a person in the middle who is looking to get married and then cultivate those young people. So every single one of us has a relationship with this hadith. He mentioned a person whose heart is attached to the masajid, not just his body. If he said the body is attached to the masajid, then this is for the men only. Because it is the men who have been ordered to frequent the masjid, and the women are also permitted. But as for the heart, it is always attached to the masajid. He mentioned that person or two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. All of us have friends. And each one of us is a friend towards other people. So let our friendship be upon an-nasiha, upon sincere advice. Upon guiding people towards the akhirah. He mentioned that person who is called by shahawat, by desires. And in our time today, this is much more. It's not only women. Mobiles, internet, billboards, colleges. Every single one of us is affected by these shahawat. So what should our reply be? Inni akhafullah. Indeed, I fear Allah. And then he mentioned that person who gives in charity. And every one of us, especially living in this country, Allah has blessed us with wealth, such that we can give in charity. However, our acts of worship have to be based upon sincerity, upon ikhlas. That we try to conceal and hide our acts of worship. So the reward is fully with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadallah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الكفر والكافرين اللهم عز التوحيد والموحدين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم إنا نسألك الإخلاص في القول والعمل اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أقم الصلاة